PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes it. Listen to his shit.
There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies, Mr. Beale. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Yay! Episode 294 of Cinema Crespediso is underway. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, shown in the Crespediso studio. Airhorn works, that's good. I get worried about it. I use that a lot, so I'm afraid it's going to run out of air. We have our threat update here. Current threat level is corn silk. Current threat level is corn silk. Armageddon is a distinct possibility. Drewster Cogburn!
Isn't it always, Chris?
Oh, yeah. That Tuesday clock.
Yep.
It's at what right now? About 30 seconds to midnight?
Oh, man. You know, I know...
Go ahead and look up the Doomsday clock for us real quick.
I know we've been getting closer.
Go ahead and check up the current Doomsday clock. That's an actual thing, people. It's been around since the 50s. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, first-time guests. You can hear her on the radio. You can see her live doing comedy and motivational speaking. She's a delightful person. We're happy to have her here. It's a funny brown girl, Shireen Kassam. Yeah! And the applause. Shireen Kassam.
Thank you so much for having me.
FunnyBrownGirl.com. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing very good. Thank you.
Oh, Chris, it's 2 minutes to midnight.
We're at 2 minutes to midnight?
Yeah.
It's been closer than that, though, before, I think.
Yes, yeah.
It's been closer.
You mean, so what does that mean?
2018. So midnight is imminent doom. That is all-out nuclear war. We are fucked. Goodbye, world.
A group of scientists put this together in the 50s,
starting
I want to say.
Yeah.
You know, shortly after the advent of atomic warfare. And they came up with their doomsday clock. And it's like based on societal forces, what's going on in the world, political landscape, etc. How close are we to midnight on doomsday? And it's perpetually like within 10-15 minutes to midnight.
Yeah, always. Has been.
When the wall went down. I wonder what it was when the wall went down.
Actually, I mean, there is the
It was like 11:45 p.m.
Hang on, let's see here.
So 2 minutes to midnight is a big
deal?
It's close.
Actually, that's the closest it's been...
Since what, the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Hang on. 2 minutes to midnight, I'm trying to think. In 91, it was 17 minutes to midnight.
Oh, that's pretty far out there.
That's pretty far out
And that's after... Okay, so that's after the wall fell. Yeah. Cold War, U.S. elections are going down and
the
stuff.
Last time we were 2 minutes to midnight was 1953.
Whoa, that's like Cuban Missile Crisis time. Yeah, so things are bad.
Yeah.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. This is how we do the show.
Yes, we are 2 minutes to midnight.
Does it tell you when it became 2 minutes to midnight?
Well, it's a yearly thing. So every year they put it out. On January 25th is when they named it 2 minutes to midnight, mostly because of the progress of North Korea's nuclear weapons program the year before.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And it hasn't changed, so.
All right, there you go.
Interesting.
There you go. That's your doomsday discussion with Drewster Cogburn and Chris Crespo and guests. That was the first episode of that new podcast.
They called an untenable nuclear threat, Chris.
What?
And
currently?
And insufficient response to climate change.
Oh, climate change is for real. Yeah, so it also includes things like that, too. Oh, you know what? Yeah, climate change is going to get us before anything else.
Yeah.
But before we do that, we're going to have fun with podcasts and jokes and hanging out and having a good time.
We'll be doing it till midnight.
At least till midnight. So we're hanging out. Shireen, thank you for showing up.
Thank you for having me.
We really appreciate it. It's good seeing you. We're going to start the show, like we always do, Drew, with the streaming pick of the week. So go ahead and pass over to Randomizer 9000. You got it? Where is it? You got it right there, Drew? Yeah. He's fixated on the doomsday clock right now.
I mean, isn't that life?
Yes. We do this every week. Hulu, Netflix, Amazon. There's so many options. Why are you wasting your time just flipping through titles and not making a decision? We're going to make the decision for you. Shireen just used the randomizer 9000.1. Go ahead and let everyone know, what is this week's pick of the week?
This week's pick of the week is One Punch Man on Netflix.
Hey, I was just watching that. It's hysterical.
Literally, what was on the television when I walked in.
That's a, yeah, all right, so there you go. I'll get that out here. Thank you very much. One Punch Man on Netflix. A anime cartoon, if you will. Animation, Japanese animation. For a short while, they were called Japanimations. That feels racist in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
That kind of portmanteau.
But that was very 90s. That was back when all electronic music was techno.
It was a very 90s Natalie portmanteau. So we're just going to call it what it is, which is an anime based on a manga. One Punch Man is this dude. I'm rewatching now.
You're not like, married, right?
Yeah,
no. Okay, just checking.
Got no time for that.
I was like,
who's got time for that?
Who's got time for that, right? You're right.
Trying to make things happen here.
I didn't even know there was anime on Netflix.
Oh,
there's everything.
Not
on
only is there anime on Netflix,
what do you want?
They bought the rights to a bunch of anime from Japan and
really?
Put it on Netflix here.
Oh, wow.
So, like, there's all sorts of weird, strange nonsense. I mean, I was kind of into anime in, you know, the early 2000s when it first, like, was coming through, but I've completely lost touch and I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
I watched some in the 90s when I was on, like, Cartoon Network and it was,
exactly.
Good, like, after school, when I was high school, after school type stuff.
And the big titles, like your Akiras and your Vampire Hunter D's and stuff like that.
Right.
Like,
all but now Netflix is...
It's anime crazy.
With everything else, it's flooded with, like... Anime. So much you would have to like know what you're looking for to wade through it. I don't know what I'm looking for, but I did keep seeing online One Punch Man is the greatest show ever to not get a second season because there's only one season out there.
It's a satire.
It's a spoof of way. Yeah, absolutely, sure. Of superhero. So it's about a dude who's the strongest in the world. He gets bored with how strong he is. He beats people with one punch, like monsters and things from other dimensions and things with super suits. He just very easily defeats everything. And he's bored by it. And he's like, he's
kind of disillusioned.
And he's looking for the ultimate fight. So that's the whole point of the first season.
Oh.
And they did announce that they're actually going to do a second season, much to a lot of people's acclaim.
Yeah.
So that makes it then worth it for people to check
out. So anime is just like cartoons?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just
Japanese.
Japanese style.
I don't know why I thought anime was like naked people.
That's something else.
Oh.
That's a very specific genre, and you will not find
that
on Netflix. No.
Yes.
That's why I was confused. I was like, why is Netflix showing porn?
No. You'll find that on like your porn hubs, I guess.
I mean, it's same animation style. It's just you know, that stuff's more like monsters and tentacles and girls being raped and
It can get weird and gross really fast. The stuff on Netflix can skew adults, but that just means there's cursing and violence.
Yeah, and maybe some sexual content, maybe a little bit. There's a couple of the animes that have some sexual content
to them. They get sexy, but then it's not like, all right, now here's a 6-minute straight-up, like, porn, animated porn sequence.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
so when the anime first came out, though, that's what it was, right? Porn?
I think it was still a mix of this.
Well, exactly. Okay. That subculture came with it, though, when it first came to America. Like, they almost came hand in hand, so people were weirded out by it. And then everybody realized, oh, wait a minute, not all anime is porny.
Yeah.
Well, I just learned that, so thank you.
It's also, it came over pre-internet, so it was like your options were like...
Very limited.
These are my options?
They're
up to crazy stuff over there. Meanwhile, no, there's all sorts of stuff. You're just seeing the craziness, I guess. So this is much more... family friendly, I would say. Even though when One Punch Man, his name is Saitama, when he punches something or a person, they don't just get knocked out.
They explode.
They explode. And there's like
guts everywhere.
There's one villain early on in the season is this like robot mosquito lady who sends a swarm of mosquitoes to suck the blood out of people, and then she like absorbs that like a mosquito. She's like, I'm filling up with their blood for power. And then at the end of the episode, he punches her, and then it's like, you know, when you get bit by a mosquito and you hit it, and then and the blood's like, so it's like, imagine that, but on the side of a building. It's really gross. And you're like, oh, okay. But then it's played for laughs, that type of thing,
too.
So it's a weird show, a lot of fun, very well respected for a reason, because it's pretty well written. And like Drew said,
it's satire.
It's satire. It's a big spoof.
Exactly.
Of the
like if you're familiar with anime and the action anime and that kind of series, then when you watch this, like, they make nods to the classics, and it's like Chris said, that when he punches somebody, it's done for laughs. It's, like, yeah. Giant explosion, but you're supposed to laugh hysterically, because it's like, what the fuck?
There's one where he beats a guy just because he gets super angry, and not because he's angry at the person he's fighting, but he's angry because he realizes it's Saturday, and it's, like, super clearance sale day at the supermarket, and he's like, no, I'm wasting my time doing this, I'm missing the sale, and he destroys this thing, and then she's like, oh, he's so upset, and then his disciple is like, the market doesn't close for a few hours, so if we run, we can make it. He's like, great idea, let's go, okay, and then runs out to go to the supermarket. So that's where his mind is at, while these things are trying to defeat him. He's like, oh man, I miss it Saturday, I gotta go to the supermarket. So it's a funny, weird little show. 10 episodes, maybe 12?
Yeah.
It's my second go-through, but I literally just do put it on, and then, like, I go about my day, and I do stuff, and then here's a fight scene, let me check in on this, and that's why I can rewatch it, because I'm like, oh, I totally missed this the first time around, because I was doing dishes, or, you know, editing an episode. That happens all the time. The TV's on in the other room, doesn't matter. One Punch Man, great choice! Shireen, there you go. And then you learned a little about the history of anime.
Now I know anime is not about porn.
Netflix has practically everything. You know what it doesn't have? Network soap operas. There's no, I don't think it has like General Hospital or One Life to Live. I don't know where you would go to find that stuff. If it's even out there.
I think maybe Amazon like ER or something, and like House.
I will also see that stuff on Hulu. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what Netflix wouldn't have. Yeah, genre wise. They even have like a whole subsection of South Korean rom-coms.
They do. How deep you want to. And they have a bunch of, like, they have an entire Bollywood subsection.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Bollywood subsection.
When you talk about that, may be the third largest film market in the world behind America and China. People don't even know India has three separate film industries.
Well, yeah.
And it's rare when a movie actually blows up in all three. And when that happens, it's like megastar. It's like Irfan Khan type stuff. One Punch Man, great stuff. We enjoy it. I enjoy it. I think everyone else was a good choice. Here we go. Cool. All right, here we go. Let's talk about some dollar bills. Box office time. Drewster Cogburn, dollar bills. Box office top five. Again, our numbers from boxofficemojo.com. Drew, where are we starting number five?
We're starting number 46.
Actually. Oh, theoretical number 46.
Theoretical number 46, because it's unlisted, making at least $600 this weekend, because we saw it with
Based on our one screening that we went to.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yes, we went and saw 2001, A Space Odyssey in theaters this weekend. Now, this screen, you proclaim to be pop culture deficient.
I am.
Which is fine.
I don't know what this movie's about. I want to guess it's the Kevin Spacey movie.
No. This is Kevin Spacey. That's funny. This is
because it won a Spacey Odyssey.
That's the,
well, because you said it brought in, what, $600?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's that movie that came out last week.
His brought in, I think, $125, so I thought maybe more people went to see it.
Out of pure curiosity. No. Yeah. That's hysterical. No, it's not the Kevin Spacey movie.
No, this is a sci-fi classic from 1968, directed by Stanley Kubrick.
It's the 50-year anniversary of this movie.
Okay.
And it's Stanley Kubrick's.
That's the guy who made Clockwork Orange?
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
As well as The Shining, Full Metal Jacket, I'm trying to think of his biggest movies. And then he, Eyes Wide Shut with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. And then he wrote Artificial Intelligence to make it.
But died.
The one with Haley Joel Osment, the kid from Sixth Sense, died, heart attack, late 50s, very sad. Steven Spielberg then finished it for him because he was like a protege type of thing. Well, not a protege, but you know, mentor-mentee relationship, that type of
mutual
deal.
Mutual respect type of thing.
Yes, exactly. And so this is his after Clockwork Orange. And first, before I talk about watching the movie, I want to throw this out there. This is my favorite thing about 2001 A Space Odyssey. And it's a conspiracy theory tied into it.
It's great.
About how, okay, so you know about the whole the moon landing is fake type of thing. They faked the moon landing. I do not believe that they faked the moon landing. They faked the footage.
The footage is fake.
Yes, because they wanted to live broadcast, right? But they were bringing cameras to outer space. They didn't know how. Was it even going to work? This is the first time we were ever going to try to broadcast live from out of our atmosphere. And what if it didn't work? What if they went to the moon and then they couldn't actually, quote, prove it with cameras? So we have to fake the footage and then just show the faked footage of what we actually did. recruiting Stanley Kubrick, the top director of the time, to work on.
And because at the time, Stanley Kubrick was, quote-unquote, getting help from NASA to make his 2001 movie.
Yes, exactly. So late 67, 68, he's working with NASA. NASA is like openly working with Kubrick. They're giving him designs, R&D stuff.
Unprecedented access.
Yeah, it's like, here are our big... This is where we think space travel is going to be in 40, 50, 60 years. And so you can use this for your special effects. We'll give you whatever you need. So what did he give them in return? And then even after 2001, he made another movie called Barry Lyndon. Barry Lyndon is a film set in like Europe in like the 1700s, something like that. So there's no electricity. Hence, there's the lighting is all fire and candles and the sun, and that's it. That's your lighting, the moonlight. And Kubrick wanted to make this movie using only natural lighting. He didn't want to bring in lights. He wanted the light scenes with candles. In order to do that, NASA developed for him film lenses to put onto his cameras that could then like capture light in such a way that he could shoot entire scenes with like 10 people lit only by candle. And why would NASA go out of their way to do that for Stanley Kubrick?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've never thought about it that way. I guess this is how conspiracy theories come up.
Mm-hmm. Yes!
Exactly.
You just need enough plausibility and just enough doubt to be like, well, that kind of makes sense.
Is, and you need to know movie culture.
A little bit.
Well,
it helps.
And the great thing is every great conspiracy theory is centered around a kernel of truth.
Yeah.
That like, this is incontrovertible. Like, we know this happened.
And then that's why people are watching the footage that's faked and be like, look, these shadows are wrong. This is wrong. That is wrong. They're picking things out that they're saying that are wrong. Because while Kubrick is a great filmmaker, no one makes anything that's perfect film-wise. So maybe there are errors in there that people are picking out because it's not the actual footage. But they really are up there. There's ways to prove, you know, that there's things have been left behind.
Yeah.
Our flag that has been bleached white from sunlight now. Now it's just a white flag. So what, we've surrendered the moon? Anyone can go take it now?
Uh-huh.
Let's go take that moon, Drew.
Let's do it.
It's a Crespo moon.
We just got to get up there, bro.
Moon, so just it's easy. They did it.
Elon Musk can do it.
If Elon Musk can do it, we can do it. Wait, is that how that works? So anyway.
Okay.
Stanley Kubrick, while making 2001, also made the... also, if you look at pictures of Kubrick before he made 2001, pretty skinny, like a healthy-looking gentleman. He's
so
wearing
much.
Suits. Very tight beard.
He gave up afterwards.
After 2001, like, after the stress of that
disheveled.
Movie.
Like, I mean, still wearing a suit, but the suit is no longer tucked in.
It's
no longer buttoned all the way. His hair is a mess. His beard is long. He is smoking, like, full-time.
Throughout the 70s, he just gets fatter and crazier-looking. And people think...
There he is right there, on set of 2001.
Yeah, looking wonderful and erudite.
Yep, smoking a cigar.
And people think it's the stress of having to hold the secret of being like one of the few people who know that he's doing this thing, not even being able to tell his family and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's wild.
I've never heard this, but that's interesting.
It's a fun one, right? That's cool. It's one of the few good conspiracy theories. Most conspiracy theories are based on anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. This one is just straight up, let's have fun with the moon landing.
No, I feel like I'm in school today. I feel like I'm like learning all this stuff.
It's part of the fun with the Crespedisa. So we're here to have fun, and we're informative as well as just having a good time. All right, so we went and saw this. I've seen this movie, I don't know, like a dozen times.
So many times, but it's been a while since I've seen it. In its entirety, from front to back.
Yes.
Is it as creepy as Clockwork Orange?
No.
Well,
depends. I mean, the monkeys are kind of creepy.
There are moments where it gets weird.
Mm. But
Clockwork Orange is a whole other thing.
Yeah, that movie I just didn't get.
I
still don't get it.
It's a tough one.
No, it's great. I fucking love that movie.
That one's tough to parse, for sure. 2001 is more... A little more... Now, I don't want to say linear, because Clockwork Orange is linear, but it's a little more straightforward in its story of human evolution. Like Drew said, starting from man-apes. Ending up with a space baby.
Don't worry about space baby. It's
That's
fine.
Literally, last 3 minutes of the movie. Don't worry about it. And it's all about how. Okay, so you haven't seen 2001, but it is pretty significant pop culturally. Do you know about like the black monolith, the black slab? That, and then there's monkeys around it. Have you ever seen those images at all?
I want to say yes, but
maybe,
I can't remember in which movie.
I know. Maybe it just popped up somewhere. Even like a reference on a TV show.
The giant eyeball.
Well, the giant eyeball is used, quite interestingly.
These are all references from his movie?
From this one movie, yes. So what happens is in the beginning, there's man apes, and they're like scrounging around, eating shrubs, and they're barely surviving, getting attacked by big cats. And then this big black monolith shows up out of nowhere, and it's kind of a Chariot of the Gods theory in that some otherworldly thing has made sparked the evolution of humankind. So what happens is these man-apes look at the slab, they touch it, there's a crazy noise, like, oh, you know, and it gets weird and crazy.
It's weird.
And then it cuts to, like, the next day, the one of the apes, the one that touched it the most, he's, like, playing with a bunch of bones of, like, long-dead animals, and he picks one up, and he realizes he can, like, hit things with it and smash things, and he learns how to not only use a tool,
but
then to use it as a weapon.
Okay.
And that he uses that to, like, beat down other man-apes that are, like, hogging all the water, and then they also use it to beat animals, to kill them so they can eat their meat and get protein, so not eating shrubs anymore. So they evolved.
Right.
Because of this monolith. Like, they changed the way they thought.
Yeah.
Cut to the... I think it's 2000. It cut the year 2000. An excavation on the moon, on a moon base, has found a similar black monolith. They dug it out. Like, what is this? Yeah. So they go there. The people go down. They take pictures in front of it. One guy touches it, and then the same thing happens. Cut to 18 months later. Now mankind is on an expedition to Jupiter. Based on this monolith. So, and what it is, it's sending mankind on the next stage of evolution. Yeah. So the whole thing's just about evolving mankind to think in different ways to evolve. And but then we also evolve from man-ape to human, then from human to...
Giant space baby.
Giant space baby.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And it takes almost 3 hours, but with an intermission.
Okay.
Two and a half hours.
The great thing is, though, it's... I mean, this movie came out in 1968. 68. And, you know, it promoted a lot of future technology, like where when you watch the movie now, like they have tablets.
They are totally watching.
In 1968.
They're watching, like, news updates on tablets. They're just sitting there with their individual tablets.
And they say IBM on them, right there. Like, everything, it was very future-centric, and now looking back 50 years later, it's like... Some of this stuff, they actually got that shit right.
It's incredible what holds up. What holds up. And then, of course...
A lot of it didn't.
The stuff that doesn't.
Like the fashion and the things of that nature. That's always weird.
That becomes my favorite part,
that
though.
Tie. Those I want those ties.
The ties. I want every single chair in the movie. The chairs
are nice. And you know what? That dude had a pretty bitchin' brown suit, too.
Yeah, the guy who was like a mix of George Clooney and Clive Owen.
Yes.
He was like old...
George Owen.
George Owen.
Clive Clooney.
Good old Clive Clooney. It's like, so what it is, it's 68, but they're like, what's everything going to look like in the year 2001?
Yeah.
So it's the 60s version of the future. So it's like, now we look at it as very retro.
Right.
But not retro in like representative of actual fashion of the time. Yeah. It's like, this is what we think things will look like, and it's super cool and kitschy, and like I said, I want every single the chairs in the conference room.
The chairs are great.
The chairs in the waiting area in the Hilton Space Station.
Yeah.
They're at the Hilton
The Howard Johnson on the moon.
There's a Hilton and Howard Johnson. Yeah, it's at Clevius. Yeah.
So the poor and the rich can make it to the moon.
No, mostly the...
Mostly rich.
No, again, it's the 60s. Pan Am is still in business.
Yep.
Howard Johnson is still like a major chain. Now the poor stay at Hojo, but before Hojo's, you go there to eat at a diner.
In the 60s, exactly.
That's why you gotta watch it with that
filter.
The problem
with the Howard Johnson's is like they haven't been renovated since the 60s.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
That's 100% the truth. Last time I stayed at the Howard Johnson, it was not good. Actually, technically, it may have just been a converted Howard Johnson, to be honest.
No.
No slight to Hojo. One of the remarkable things about seeing this movie in a theater is the soundtrack and how loud
it is.
Oh my
god. Dude, when the radio signal goes off in the second Black Monolith scene.
Yeah, there's an ear piercing. And it is like...
Loud.
Like, oh my god.
I think they have this turned up too loud. I think I'm going deaf.
Like,
this is bad.
Like the people on screen grab their ears, and I almost thought about grabbing mine as well.
Yeah,
oh my god, that's so loud.
It's very uncomfortable. The only thing that got me through it is knowing that it'll last maybe 7 seconds.
Yeah.
So I was just like... Oh, thank god. It's such sweet relief when it finishes. And it's so... But the movie is very much a sonic assault at times, which then makes it so interesting when later a lot of it happens in outer space. Kubrick was all about... Before he made 2001, movies set in outer space were all like, look at the saucer on a string. You know, the green men come out and take me to your leader. Like, very cheesy, very corny. He was like, no, I want to make an outer space movie that looks like...
Based on science.
Yeah, that we took, like, photos. This is what it would look like. And part of what happens in outer space is that there's no sound. It's a vacuum. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of stuff that happens in outside the spaceship,
all
when they're
you
going
hear
out there,
is...
Yeah, the guy breathing. At best... Sometimes you hear nothing, and it's just a thing moving very slowly. in quietness, and you're sitting there watching quietly. Like, at one point, someone's like, he tries eating popcorn in the theater, and I'm going, chewing so slowly. Trying to chew quietly. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you're eating popcorn. Just crunch it, man. He's like,
well, it's like that movie. What was that movie that came out?
A Quiet Place. Yes. That's exactly what I thought of.
And they said people were getting in trouble for eating. They said concession stand sales were the lowest for that movie.
That's hysterical. Yes, because in the beginning, people realized, oh, this is a quiet movie, and they're trying.
And they don't want to ruin it for anybody else.
But I don't know who
actually
has snacks during movies. I finished those in the previews.
A lot of people.
Yeah. Some people do. They chow down.
A lot of people.
Like, the movie starts, and I'm like, oh crap, I'm done.
I'm done with my popcorn. I weaned myself off of movie theater snacks a long time because first off, expensive.
No, you don't bring your own.
Well, also bring your own too. Yeah, but I had to stop doing that. I've just been sugar into me. Come on, I don't need it.
Yes, you do.
No,
he wants it. That's not.
I want it.
Need it.
Yes, he wants. Thank you, Jerry. There's a difference. Yeah. Don't you dare hand me those Reese's pieces because I'll put them down by the handful.
Put Reese's pieces in your popcorn.
Oh my God! Yes.
That's
absolutely
the best way to eat.
Sweet and savory. That is the best. You're right. We're on the same wavelength. You know what we're talking about.
I love food.
The food is wonderful. Food's the best. You can't beat it. Man, I'm getting hungry now.
I'd say you guys want to go get something to eat.
We gotta go. They closed my lunch pho place downtown.
Chris. Right before you got your free sandwich, too.
I was like two stamps away from free entree.
Oh, no.
I show up to get stamp 14 to 15, and the place is dark. The soda, the cooler gone. Is gone.
Oh, no.
I'm like, no. My Vietnamese iced coffee. No, I think I got a burger somewhere. Ate it begrudgingly. I was like,
the place is cursed. That spot's cursed.
It's a cursed spot across the street. The Froyo, across the thing. No, it's now an Asian place of some sort. I can't tell. I think maybe Vietnamese.
Chris, I think the only thing that's ever gonna survive there is that 7-Eleven.
No, that bento sushi spot has been there for years.
Well, since they opened. They opened with the building.
Yes.
I guarantee it's because all the people who live above keep that place afloat.
Well, there you go.
The one in the plaza where the movie theater is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. The one across the spot from it that was a burger place and a pho place. And what was it before that? It was something else. All closed. Okay. And then the one that's up there in front, that was the Horsepower Bar where Angel was DJing. Mm-hmm. And then it was Isla Verde Caribbean.
Gone.
Both gone in less than a year.
It's surprising the restaurants would close down because isn't that an office building?
No,
it's
a condo building.
Yeah. Oh, is it condos? Okay, I thought there was offices.
It's surrounded by offices though.
Yeah,
but
which is surprising. During lunch, you wouldn't keep busy enough to stay in business.
Exactly.
Right?
Precisely. Tons of people are down there during the week. I was down there for 7 years during the week, eating lunch here and there. And I would go to Spice Burger every now and then, not even because it was that good, just because I'm in the mood for a burger.
And it's there.
And their fries are really good. Anyway. That was local downtown cuisine with Chris and Drew and guests. I think that was a successful first episode of that podcast. Mm-hmm. I think we'll bring that one back around one day.
Number five this week.
All right, here we go. So we both recommend people see 2001 because it's amazing.
Yes.
Obviously.
I mean, it is long in...
Is it on Netflix?
Depending...
Can you pull up see? I don't know if it's on any sort of streaming service.
I don't think so.
I don't think any most Kubrick movies
are. It's probably for rent. Through one of them.
Yeah, you could spend the monies if you want to. It is like a classic film.
You can rent it on.
I do want to say this. So we saw it on IMAX screen, big screen. It's like the biggest presentation I've ever seen it. So you can see more details than I've ever seen, right? Watching it that way. It is astounding to see what holds up and what doesn't.
Almost all of it holds up.
It's amazing how much of it holds up. In the beginning, the things that stood out the most were the people in their ape suits. There was the occasional shot of someone. It's like a full ape suit, but then you can see where the eyes cut out, and you can see like the lighter skin.
And every once in a while, depending on the shadows, I could tell that it was a backdrop as well.
That's the thing. So that entire opening sequence, the first 20 minutes of the movie takes place on what looks like African plains.
It's a set.
It's all a set. It's all shot indoors. And watch it now. I'm like looking at it like, those clouds moving
there are a couple of shots where I can tell it's a backdrop
tell from the light the fake space footage and then the outer space stuff looks great, obviously. It's all about the designs of the spaceships and the way they shot it. It looks like real, like actual weighty things floating around in outer space. When they're on the spaceship and things are like the pen is floating and the stewardess walks in with her grippy shoes and grabs it and puts it back in the dude's pocket. And what was his name? Clive Clooney? Clive Clooney?
Clive Clooney.
Man. just
all good.
Fantastic, fun film. Really enjoyed it. There are some longer stretches where it's like, all right, you know, by modern standards, it's a slower film. But for the most part, man, I was enraptured watching.
Of course, it's a classic.
And then also, thank God for intermissions.
Yeah, intermissions are awesome.
Horror movies should have intermissions. Agreed. There was like a nice 10-minute break. Went to the bathroom, went outside. Drew had a gross cigarette. Hit my toot pen. We went back in, finished the movie. It was like a recharge. It was very
Bollywood
cool.
films have the intermission
because they're smart.
Great. Yeah.
Also because they're 4 hours long.
Yeah, they are 4 hours long, but they are smart. Yeah, because you get a stretch, buy more concessions.
You don't feel like you're missing anything. And exactly. then in a Bollywood film, you will miss a lot if you walk out for 5 minutes.
You will.
Because they're like, you know what? We're gonna shove 4 genres into. you want a musical, action, heist, comedy?
Yeah.
We got 8 of them. Playing in theaters this weekend. Drew Sikoff.
Number five. Disney's Christopher Robin. $6.3 million. Total of 77.
There we go. The Winnie the Pooh movie still making money. What's the total?
77.
That's not bad.
4 weeks.
That's not bad at all. It might actually crawl to 100, which is, again, the Disney marketing machine. Because it's a Disney movie, right?
Yeah. It's Disney's Christopher Robin.
Yeah, they even put their name in
the title.
Bow down to the mouse. Shout out to the mouse.
Finish him.
Number four this week. Mission : Impossible - Fallout made additional $8 million, total of $193.
All right, so maybe a $200 million movie there.
It wasn't bad. I liked it.
You saw it?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Give us your full review real quick.
Trying to think.
What did you like about it?
It was action-packed. There was a lot of action in it. It did take a little long. I don't know how long the movie is, but definitely, I think, over 2 hours.
It's over 2 hours.
Yeah. It's like 2.5 hours,
and there's
hours,
points
actually.
When I start, that's when I'm like, oh my God, when's this?
I'll tell you what.
Like, let's go.
Exactly. I'll tell you what. Mission Impossible Fallout could have used an intermission. A well-placed cliffhanger intermission.
Or it could have just cut some of the scenes. There were some scenes. There was like one long scene at the end where they were like chasing him and you're just like, oh my God, how long is this?
Like the helicopter scene?
Well, it's because
that went on too long too. The helicopter scene went on way too long.
They had to show that Tom Cruise was actually flying the helicopter
They put so much work into the helicopter scene. Like we have to get our dollars
worth.
That was
so long.
It was a
but
long.
But then the one where he was driving his motorbike through Paris.
That was actually Tom Cruise doing all that.
Yeah.
He actually wrecked that bike and took that hit and fall hit. And did it all. Like,
oh, really?
He's his own stuntman.
But
now.
The thing is, since he does it all, they're like, well, since he's doing it,
we gotta put it.
We don't want to waste any of the footage. So yes, then they become like very elongated scenes, which then makes for a 2.5 hour.
Yeah.
I agree. I love the movie, but I did walk out of there like, okay, I was ready for it to be over. Like, I wanted to be enraptured by the helicopter sequence, and instead I was like, all right, let's
well, because
thing.
I'd seen
let's
it too many
it.
Times. In
the also,
previews.
Because we saw the trailer like before every single movie as well, which doesn't help. I'm with you there. Okay. A lot of action, a little too long. What else do you think?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Are you a fan of Tom Cruise generally? Yes or no? Take him or leave
it
him.
It was my boyfriend's pick to see that movie. We take turns.
Yeah.
His turn to pick. It was between that and Jurassic Park, and I said we'll see Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Good choice. Good choice. So. Yeah. I am a Chris Pratt fan. I'm a fan. I like Bryce Dallas Howard. I like dinosaurs. Good choice. Mission Impossible is
Jurassic
for sure.
Park's not worth seeing in the movies.
No, not really. It's wait for it to be on like effects.
Got it. Okay. I'm gonna make sure he knows that so I don't have to go sit through it.
There you go. There's better movies
that's gonna cost me a large popcorn, I think, to get through that movie.
Well, that's the thing though. If you're going back and forth, then you gotta pick the next movie, so it's like you can see what I gotta see.
No, that's what we do.
There you go.
But my movies are always really good.
There you go.
Not,
confidence.
I don't pick chick flicks. Like I'm not but he picks like these manly movies where like I sit there and think about what choices I made in life.
Yes.
How did I get here?
Yeah, how did I get into this movie theater with this man for 3 hours when I could be at the club,
doing anything else.
You'd be enjoying
yourself.
Take him to go see Crazy Rich Asians.
I did take him to see that one.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Is this on our top five?
It should be.
Okay, hold on to that review real quick.
Number three. Happy Time Murders, $10 million.
Pull up the Rotten Tomatoes on this.
Never heard of this one.
This is the Melissa McCarthy Henson Company Muppet movie. That's all about.
That's adult.
There's a murder, so they're going out, and it's like a raunchy comedy.
Like they're puppets snorting sugar and shooting syrup.
Interesting.
It's that type of deal.
Melissa's stretching her wings. Mm-hmm. Good for her.
I hope she does. I'm a fan. I like her.
22%.
27%?
22.
What's the average rating?
3.9.
3.9 out of 10. That's not good.
The Happy Time Murders wastes its intriguingly transgressive premise on a witless comedy that blindly pushes buttons instead of attempting to tell an entertaining story.
That's crazy. Well, the thing is, I only interacted with one person who's actually seen this movie, and she said that she likes raunchy B movies, like trashy. Like specifically said, she likes B movie trash. So she enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh, interesting.
But apparently the reviews are terrible. Yeah,
these don't look good.
It doesn't. And you know what? I think
but
I saw
it still made more money than Kevin Spacey did.
Oh yeah, it did. Oh, Kevin Spacey is persona non grata. They're actually just waiting for the NYPD charges to come through because he's being investigated by NYPD. I think the LAPD charges got dropped. He may be being investigated by Scotland Yard. I'm not sure. But just like how Weinstein got charged and everything, Spacey's allegations are so bad that they're waiting for that.
Yeah, you don't hear about him too much in the news anymore.
Mm-mm. That's because he is hiding in his penthouse, wherever he's at.
Not doing anything.
Maybe even in London. The thing is, Scotland Yard's investigating him because he spent a lot of time in London running a theater at the West End, which is their version of Broadway for our non-continental listeners. Rooster Cogburn.
Number two this week.
Number two.
The Meg made $13.3 million, total of 105.
Now, this is a terribly reviewed film. Not terribly reviewed. The reviews for The Meg, the giant killer shark movie, is that it's not as fun.
Well, no.
As people want it to be. It's not. It takes itself too seriously.
Everybody says it didn't pick a way to go. Like, instead of just going balls out fun and crazy with giant shark, or super serious with giant shark, they tried to split the difference and go half and half.
So they had a Jason Statham movie, but also a Rainn Wilson movie.
Exactly.
And then there's a giant shark in there.
Yeah, so...
If Moopy Pass will let me, I'm going to see if I can try to see this in the next week or two, and I'll tell you exactly why.
Well, that's if Moopy Pass doesn't go just belly up here, like, tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Moopy Pass. The podcast, like, they need my... I mean, they're way much, so much more popular. How Did This Get Made, which is a podcast that talks about bad movies. They rarely do this, but they went and saw a movie that's still in theaters. They went and saw The Meg. Mm. So I may go see it just so I can listen to that episode of the show. That's how I choose the bad movies to listen to. I've seen a lot of bad movies that I don't talk about because... have you ever seen The Wraith? It's from the 80s with Charlie Sheen.
The Wraith.
Magoof.
I don't know why.
There's like a crazy killer car, ghost car from... it's a Wraith car. It's... Oh my God, it's not good.
Mm. No. Interesting.
I've seen... It's a good podcast.
Do you always go to the movies to see the movies? Like, do you always...
Yes.
Okay. Most of the time.
I do. Most of the time.
Such a good man.
There have been times when I've gotten on some press lists and I've gotten a few press screenings, but a lot of those happen in the morning or during the week when I'm available to make those types of things. I've been using MoviePass when I could for like the last four or 5 months, but I literally haven't used it in a month and a half because I just have been unable to.
See, those are the customers that they were hoping to get, but they didn't get those.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's like they just sent out an email saying I can see...
Yeah, I think three movies, right?
Three movies a month, and then after that, a $5 discount on tickets, which isn't bad.
No.
Which really isn't bad. Now, while MoviePass has been going through the struggles... Don't cry for me, Argentina. I haven't been paying for a lot of movies because I have so many Regal Crown credits saved up.
Oh, good.
That, oh, it's on a movie pass? Well, then I'll just use my free tickets I got anyway. So, you know, there you go. Like I said, I'm Evita. True Chicago.
Number one this week.
Number one.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Still number one. Bam! Crazy Rich Asians. Good for them.
$25 million. Total of 76.
All right. Definitely going to make 100. Let's see if it can get to one... Maybe 125? I think its floor is going to be 115. It could get to 130, 150. Depending on word of mouth.
Do these numbers then include the international numbers? Or
no, that's just domestic.
It's just domestic.
Can he pull up international?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's fine. I'm just curious.
No, I think that's actually a good question. I wonder if it's even out yet.
I don't think... Well, I heard in China they've been doing the previews, the sneak peeks.
Okay.
But it hasn't fully come out yet, but it hasn't been getting the best reviews.
Interesting. Maybe it's too Americanized
for them. it's not realistic. Well,
maybe...
Well, sure, because maybe, it is about... a very affluent people. Yeah. So regardless of race, nationality, heritage, if you're watching a movie about rich people, it's still Sex in the City.
Foreign's only $7 million.
Okay, so it sounds like it didn't come out in any sort of wide release.
It hasn't come out yet.
Not every... Only the big blockbusters are the ones that come out everywhere at the same time.
Got it.
Yeah, so this is going to get a slower rollout. Okay, you saw. Let's get your review.
I think it was a great movie. I wouldn't say it's a chick flick. Mm-hmm. It's a comedy, romance comedy.
Yeah.
My boyfriend liked it. My dad didn't like it as much. Okay. So
why didn't he like it?
He likes violence. There was no violence in this movie.
Okay, all right.
And there was no sex scenes. It was very,
So personal taste. Okay. Okay, fair enough. But
no,
the boyfriend.
No sex, yeah. No violence.
No sex, okay. No violence. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was a Deadpool spinoff, but okay.
I think my boyfriend liked it because he thought it was going to be a chick flick, and he was mad at me, but then he realized it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah. Sure,
it was
sure.
A cute story, you know, two people in love. Mm-hmm. Trying to make it work.
And then there's
a lot of humor. There were some cheesy lines, but then there were some lines that, like, the actors and actresses really, you could tell, believed in the lines that they were delivering.
Oh, but that's acting, right? You want to believe in what people are saying out there. So it's a rom-com, romantic comedy, but it doesn't necessarily skew chick flick. That's kind of harder to pull off. I feel like that's a genre that doesn't get attention anymore. I feel like it's a movie that got made a lot in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. And the 90s.
More so, yeah.
And even the 2000s with all those fucking Nicholas Sparks movies, dude.
I feel like that stuff skews chick flicky.
It does.
Like, aesthetically. Whereas in the 80s, you had more stuff like 9 1/2 Weeks.
Yeah.
And just any, like, Kim Basinger movie or whatever. It's like, this is stuff for adults. And then as time progressed, I feel like it just got more, like, Not to say female, feminine, blah, blah, it's bad, but just more, we're just going for half the audience as opposed to, but then couples are only a portion of the audience.
It's
hard, you're just chasing numbers.
It was a good mix in the theater.
Yeah?
A good mix of people.
Popular book, too, that's another thing that they have going for them.
And they signed for the second book now, too, the sequel of the book, they're going to make that a movie now, too.
Why not? I mean, it's closing on 100 million after only 2 weeks.
They signed last week.
Let's make it quick.
Let's make crazier, richer Asians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, but the writer...
Crazier, richer, Asianer.
I'm not sure if it's the writer or the producer, one of them is being sought out. Because he avoided going into the army.
Yes,
or something.
in China
somewhere, yeah,
or
China,
Korea,
or Singapore, Korea. Where was it? I don't know.
One of those
somewhere.
Countries where it's
mandatory.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I saw that'll
be
that.
Interesting.
He's like, no, keep me here, America. Please. I want to make more movies.
And I'm sure our man in charge is going to be like, no,
yeah.
Send him back.
No, send him. Yeah,
he's hurting the economy, making movies,
bringing all this money. Send him back. And that idiot got it.
I was trying to be diplomatic because I wasn't sure what your viewers skin.
Oh my god, no. Our listeners and us, it's our...
Chris made it very straightforward, like right after that man got elected. I'm pretty sure verbatim he said, if you voted for or support Trump in any way, shape, or form...
I hate you, stop listening.
Fuck you. Rotten hell, stop listening to my podcast. Perfect. I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
I did. And then our numbers went up. So
perfect.
So
good for you.
We're good to go. We have good listeners. Good people listen to the show. Unless the enemies are listening, in which case, fuck you. You sons of bitches.
Thanks for the download.
Yeah, thanks for the download, though. No, we love Trump here. He's great. He's going to make America great again. Yes. I'm sure it's going to happen one day, just after we get all these indictments and, you know, criminals. And you know, he's draining the swamp. What he did, you know how he's draining the swamp? He brought the animals with him. And then he's like, all right, now arrest these people. We're good to go. Now the swamp has been drained. It's a very interesting approach to, you know, it's, I find, you know, you cause the problem, fix the problem. It would be wonderful. Yeah. A little great idea.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Genius. I think that's what he is. I'm so depressed. Grazer's Asian, so you liked it very much. Boyfriend liked it. Dad did not, because no sex, no violence. But it's fine. I don't think people were necessarily expecting it. So
yeah, I wouldn't have expected
it. Although it would have been crazy if somebody just like whipped
out
a flamethrower and barbecued the entire wedding party.
Or a Takashi Miike style.
All of a sudden he just shows up for one scene and just like smiles with his stumpy.
Yeah, not good. Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Not that type of movie. No, much more mainstream. All right, so it gets the Shireen thumbs up.
Definitely.
I mean, even in Miyake's most mainstream movie, he still had a stumpy.
There were still stump people in his mainstream films. He's a weirdo. He's a for sure weirdo. Listen to our past episodes. Did we ever do? We never did the Crespity So Film School on Miyake. Did we?
Maybe.
I don't think I feel. He made too many movies. I don't feel comfortable. I have no expertise on it.
Well, that and the movies that we have seen just make me uncomfortable.
In general. All right, here we go. New movies on DVD this week. There's Book Club. That's where all the old white ladies read 50 Shades of Grey, and then they try to get in Andy Garcia's pants.
Yep.
Only thing I know about this movie is that I heard a podcast with someone who was working on it, like in production, and they said all day long Andy Garcia was drinking that rum.
Yep.
Allegedly.
Sure. Yeah.
He's drinking that rum. Upgrade is that fake Tom Hardy gets the implant in him that makes him
fake Tom Hardy with mechanical venom.
Yes, fake Tom Hardy mechanical venom. If that sentence makes sense to you people, this is the movie for you. It's a fun little, your dad would like it.
Yes.
A very violent. Very violent sci-fi movie. The first 10-15 minutes are a real bummer, but outside of that, it gets fun and interesting and cool. Actually, I thought it was pretty good. I saw it with my MoviePass. It was probably the best movie I saw using my MoviePass. RBG, the documentary about
Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
our Supreme Court Justice, who's like, you know what she said? She's like, I'm sticking around to at least for 5 more years.
Thank you.
Wait, that's already out on DVD?
This week.
Oh, I thought it hasn't even hit the theaters yet.
It played at the Enzian while ago.
Oh, really?
But it never got like a wide release.
Is there another movie coming out about her then? Because when I saw...
These movies do come out in
I think when I saw Crazy Rich Asian, there was a preview for her.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's probably another movie coming out.
I can't remember what it was called.
But this one, RBG, was a very well reviewed, very well liked. Okay. Did well at the Enzian when it played here in town, and now it'll be available for people.
Interesting.
And also, speaking of the Enzian, the movie we just saw, American Animals, now available this week as well. People can listen to last week's episode for our review of that. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
In theaters, we have Bloodfest.
I don't know what that is.
Neither do I.
I'm sure he made a face like that. Literal.
Hang on, let's see.
It's not
here.
Literal blood. I'm sure it's a metaphor for something.
No,
about
I think it's a horror, I think it's a horror movie.
Oh, it's a horror movie. Never mind. It's a Bloodfest.
It's a shitty horror movie.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Bloodfest. There we go. That's what that is. What else is coming out?
Also coming out. Where did my thing go?
Now that's the thing. It's Labor Day weekend.
Oh yeah, big weekend for movies, right?
No, the opposite.
Yeah.
It's
really?
A terrible weekend because people are doing cookouts and on vacation and stuff. So big movies. Skip this weekend.
Also coming out this weekend, Operation Finale.
So you get to see movies like Operation Finale. Yeah.
It's got your boy Oscar Isaac in it.
Oscar Isaac is fantastic.
So then why do the movies come out? Like, because they want to capture what market share there might be for people who don't have families.
These are the movies where studios are like, we don't know how to sell this, so we're going to use this weekend to dump it out there and then just get whatever few millions are available without having to spend any money really on marketing, and then we'll get out of there. And then by the end of September, that's when they start gearing up for, quote, Oscar season. That's when the more serious movies start coming out in October. So beginning of September is where but then you'll find gems. Really good movies come out because they just don't know how to sell them.
Like what I'm hoping for in Kin.
Which one's Kin?
Kin's the one that's all super neon with the little kid who's got the future gun and what's his face? Why can't I think of his name? God damn it.
Wish I could help.
So many issues.
Bob.
James Franco is the bad guy.
I don't think I've seen any. Zoe
Kravitz, Dennis Quaid.
Cool. That sounds good.
You haven't seen the Kin trailer? Dude, I've seen this thing in front of everything.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen this trailer a lot. It is very neon.
Mm-mm. I don't remember for some reason. I mean, just showing me the thing is.
Yeah,
gonna,
no,
it's
exactly.
Gonna,
yeah, no.
It's not gonna work.
But yeah, no, it's it looks like a lot of fun. Like, so it looks like James Franco and his buddies somehow have some sort of either future tech or alien tech or something.
Okay.
That kind of makes everything like they've got these helmets and it makes everything look neon around them.
Ooh.
Like everything's got like neon outlines and shit because it's searching or whatever. Like a very 80s future. And then they've got these weird guns that like shoot lasers and shit. And some kid finds one. Zoe Kravitz is like, I don't know what's going on. Dennis Quaid is like, I'm the father figure.
I definitely have not seen this trailer.
They don't know if it's a sci-fi movie, they don't know if it's a family drama, or they don't know if it's an action movie.
I guess, hopefully, we'll find out ourselves.
Yeah.
Is there anything?
No, it's a...
Actually, there is something else coming out.
There is?
Yeah.
What?
That's the thing. There's so many weird movies. Did you notice The Little Stranger? Domino Gleeson?
Nope.
It should be on the list. I was looking at this morning. That's the...
I'm doing it through the app now.
Well, yeah, I did it on the app, too.
Oh, interesting.
Domino Gleeson is in this movie that's a... The movie that came out a couple years ago, Room, about the girl who was kidnapped, played by Brie Larson, and she has the kid, and then they break out. Remember that?
Oh,
it came out like 2 years ago.
Okay, there we go. The Little Stranger.
Little Stranger. Anyway, it was a big deal Oscar-wise when it came out a couple years ago. This is that guy's follow-up film. Some sort of weird-looking, like, Elizabethan thriller, maybe, or something.
And it's got the Domino.
And it's got the Domino Gleeson, we're big fans
of
this actor.
I mean, if that's the way we're going, Reprisal also comes out, Chris.
I don't know what that is.
Bruce Willis and Frank Grillo.
Oh, that's okay, never mind.
That's all I had to say.
I'm good on the Bruce Willis. I love Frank Grillo, but I'm good on the Willie these days. I don't need any more of him in my life.
I think Red and Glass
looks really good.
I think Red and Red 2 was the last thing I actually enjoyed him in.
Yeah, I guess so. He was fine in those.
No.
Glass should be good, though.
Glass doesn't
The fun. New M. Night Shyamalan. Okay!
Did you see the roast of him?
No.
They did the roast.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it. Was it good?
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
Those roasts haven't been as good as they used to be.
I think the best part was when Demi Moore came out.
Oh, that's fun.
And that was hilarious. Yeah. Because she got to talk about him and then the whole Ashton Kutcher thing. Mm-hmm. And everyone's still very uncomfortable with that. And you can tell by the way they look at each other.
Awesome.
It's great.
Awesome.
You
good
know.
Stuff.
Made for great television.
Good old Demi Moore. You know what I've never seen? What's that movie she did? Striptease.
Really? You never seen Striptease?
Never seen Striptease.
It's not very good.
But duh. It's one of the movies they did recently on that How Did This Get Made podcast.
The only
so I've been like waiting for it to pop up on some sort of streaming service so I can finally watch it. You know what is on there? Showgirls.
No, even worse. Actually, I think I saw those came out around the same time. Actually,
yeah, they did.
And I think I saw both of them.
Yeah, they did.
But the reason why I liked Striptease so much was because the strip club she worked at was called the Eager Beaver. That was the name of the car wash I worked at. So, yeah, yeah.
Drew Sicabra.
Working at the Eager Beaver, bro.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, here he is, accredited by 12 universities. At least, I believe, is Dr. Drew, Sikagran. Dr. Drew, what is your prescription for life this week?
Sorry, Chris. Doctor's out this week.
Fatality.
No doctor this week. Goodness gracious. It looks like we're all on our own. We're going to take a break.
Sounds good.
That was I know Sharina's a very confusing segment for you. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's fine.
Don't worry about it. Our listeners know what that was all about.
They get it.
There's no participation needed there. We're going to take a break. Drew's going to... Right?
Yep.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting.
Correct.
I need a jerk.
Gross.
My own version of
disgusting.
Yeah, but it's just a club soda.
Yeah, you're just destroying your liver.
I'm not destroying my liver. After only a couple drinks? Not only after a couple drinks.
A couple drinks a day?
The third,
for how many years?
A day is fine. A day?
For how many years?
That's fine.
How many days in a row?
That's fine.
For how many years?
It doesn't matter.
In a row.
It's all about condensing it together. I give it time to filter out lots of water in between.
See, you're giving me shit about my lungs. I give you shit about your liver.
That's fine. What's the
equivalent? Die first?
No, what's the equivalent of drinking water for smoking cigarettes? Keeping yourself hydrated. How do you keep yourself hydrated?
Well, I mean, that really doesn't have anything to do with what happens to your liver.
Right. No, I'm going to talk about the alcohol anyway. It doesn't matter. You need to read Dr. Lepley's Beer's Good. You need to read that.
Is vodka good for you?
Yeah. You need to listen to our bonus episode where I asked her that specifically.
Chris, I don't listen to podcasts.
He doesn't listen to podcasts. He's on one, but he doesn't listen to them.
I've been on multiple podcasts, actually.
You just don't like listening to them.
I just don't listen.
What do you listen to? Music?
No. Yeah. Preferably. I'm not really like a talk radio guy. I never really was.
He listens to the sounds of video games as he sits there and
that
plays
too.
Them for hours on end.
Yes.
Like like a video game zombie. Well, that's
my headphone. No.
No, it's your phone.
No, I'm on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but it's still like near the wires and stuff.
But it's
We'll cut all this out.
Never do that.
I'm cutting. Watch this.
I love it when people on podcasts say that. Don't worry, we're going to cut this part out.
We never do.
And then you're listening to the podcast, and it's like,
yeah, but now
see, that's just it. I don't listen to podcasts, but I still know that he's not going to do anything.
No, as a matter of fact, Drew Sikagran, I cut you out of every show. It's just me talking, and then
I thought you did.
Well, then why am I still on the?
You talking to one person on the show? I've never heard.
You never hear him.
Why am I?
I cut him out entirely.
Why is my face all in the promotional materials then?
It's for tech. It's cute. It looks like I have a friend.
Yes.
And then it makes it look like you have a friend.
And then tax purposes.
Oh, okay.
And with the pink headphones, it really draws in a different crowd.
It does.
I'm sure.
I claim you as a dependent.
Mm.
Yeah. So I need the proof.
Okay.
So logo.
Gotcha.
Yeah. There we go. We're going to take a break. And we'll be right back with the second half. Here we go.
Bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
I have the only gun on board.
Welcome to Con Air.
Stick around. Let off some steam, Bennett.
You have luggage.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I'll be back.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The disease. And I'm the cure.
How many men you got? Just your mother!
Shit just got real.
Come with me if you want to live.
Now you scared me.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
Get off my plane.
Remember Sally when I promised to kill you last?
That's what Major did.
I lied.
I'm coming to get you.
You've just been erased.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
A body hunter.
Yeah, he's got to do something for a living these days.
Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
Dodge this.
Welcome to the Quest Logo.
Hey, welcome to the show. It is episode 294. We're at the second half. We just finished the break. The break is over. We're now putting it back together.
I thought you were pulling a HAL 9000 there, buddy.
I was dying. My brain, I was feeling it. I could feel it.
You could feel it?
But then I fixed it.
You just start singing Daisy?
I took a sip of vodka. Now I feel a lot better. I feel like a lion, Drew.
A lion?
Yes, ready to take on the world.
Is that what lions do?
Yeah, right. No lions take on the world. Am I mixing my metaphors?
I think so.
Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 on Instagram, Facebook, and Xbox Live.
That's it. So simple, so easy.
I'm cutting the cord, man.
Cutting the internet cord.
Cutting it.
Cut.
Fuck that shit.
Cut social media cord.
Social media is garbage.
It is garbage. But there's some hot memes out there, you know. You see
there
those?
Are. The,
when you see those memes.
The John Morgan meme for saving Wally's.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I'm sick of that one.
It was great. The first time I saw it,
was good. The 12,000th time I saw it, I was like, all right,
well, and the great thing is most of the people that posted that probably haven't been to Wally's in like a decade.
Part of the reason why Wally's is closed is because people stopped going there. Anyway.
Yeah, I've never been.
Never been. I've never been. I've never been either. I'm a drinker. I've never even been. Whatever. Who gives a...
I went to Wally's a couple times when I was a drinker, but I don't really drink anymore.
Who gives a toss? Open at 7 a.m. for alcoholics. Good for them.
Exactly. It's Orlando's last old school drunk spot.
Yeah.
Where you can start drinking at 7 a.m. and stop drinking at 2.
I miss the red brick building of Tom and Jerry's, personally.
Tom and Jerry's is nice.
Tom and Jerry's is pretty cool. Surprisingly cool.
It was.
Anyway. All gone. All dead. Now we have condos. And young developers are in our town. So that's that's way better. Antihero 419, Instagram, Facebook, Xbox Live. He doesn't play multiplayer games, so I don't know what that's for.
Yeah, there's no point at all.
Shireen, what did I say? Shireen? I added an M to your name. I combined your names.
That's okay. I still responded. Can I still turn my
You were like, yeah.
I'm going to call you Sharam.
Sharam. I get everything. Sharay, Shanane.
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 That's funny, actually.
That is.
You got a middle name?
No.
So just
Shireen Kassam.
Shireen Kassam.
I think I'm going to get my middle name. I don't know if can you change your middle name? Like, can I go
think legally
and get
you can legal? Add.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to add Funny Brown Girl to my middle
name. As one word?
Yeah, just one
Funny
word.
Funny Brown Girl.
No spaces.
Nope.
Funny Brown Girl.
Yep.
That's good. People can go to with no spaces, funnybrowngirl.com.
That's exactly where you can go.
That's where you go. Where you're doing shows and stuff. You have any upcoming shows you want to plug?
Sure.
This is coming out today.
This is coming out today. What
today.
Day are we on? Okay, so Labor
26th.
Day. Okay, the biggest show I have coming up that you guys should all come out to. This is in Tampa. We're doing it's called an offensive something, but we're going to be just super offensive.
Okay,
sweet.
Cool. So I get to do all the jokes that I don't get to do usually on mainstream shows.
Nice.
That are like, you know those dark jokes that you have in the back of their head?
I was going to say, per se, could you maybe give us one of these jokes, like right now?
Oh, Drew's asking for a joke.
I like the dark stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to really have it on a recording out there in the universe.
That's why it's for live. Yeah. Only you want, this is something that can be cut out and then sent to employers.
I forget what it's
stuff.
Called. Offensive something. It was a really catchy title, but yeah, we're just gonna be super offensive.
So like dead baby jokes, stuff like that.
Dead baby jokes, rape jokes, you know, cunt jokes,
the worst stuff. Yeah, excellent.
I just said two things that I shouldn't have said on
the you know what? I'm not going to cut it out. I'll put a bleep sound over those. Yeah. I do have a tendency to do that, actually.
You do.
I will bleep shit out. That's no problem there.
So yeah, come out to that. Tampa, September 15th.
September 15th. Fantastic. Where can people hear you on the internet? Not the internets. You can hear us on the internets. You can hear on the radios. Where can people hear on the radio?
You can hear me on the radio on Real Radio 104.1, Monsters in the Morning.
Monsters in the Morning. You do that every day or once a week?
It used to be once a week. Yeah. Now maybe like once every 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay, sure. Yeah. It's hard to get up early there.
Yeah, with a full-time job and, you know.
Precisely, yes. I feel you on
people
that
stopping
one,
by my desk, like, I heard you on the radio, and you're like, shh.
No, I was here at my desk the whole time.
Yeah. No. That's just there.
I was here on time, yeah.
It's a blow of you. It's a cutout sitting at the desk just like pretending.
I actually got
people
to
walk
work
by. Hi, Shireen.
I actually got to work early one day from the radio, and the lights were out, so I was sitting in the dark, and my manager came by, and she's like, you can turn the lights on, and I was like, oh, I thought the lights just...
They're off for a reason.
I thought they don't come on until a certain hour, and she's like, you should come to work early more often.
That's funny. There you go.
I didn't know. I just thought they were on a timer.
On a timer? No, you gotta click them on
yourself.
You
actually have to turn them on.
You actually be like, oh, I'm the one to turn them on.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Someone has to turn them on. Just sitting there in the dark.
I was.
All right, so Monsters Sometimes, and you can see live. So if you go to funnybrowngirl.com, you can see where your shows are. I keep that updated,
right?
I do,
yeah. My Instagram is always updated. Funny Brown Girl on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
There you
go. Funny Brown Girl.
Also, don't you have on Instagram a shoes account?
I do. Comedy Shoe Game.
Comedy Shoe Game.
And I take pictures of all the shoes I wear on stage.
That's great.
Because someone's a shoe addict.
I am. Upset. Sometimes I don't get enough pictures because this is also really weird. It's so weird to ask someone to take your picture while you're on stage and be like, make sure you get my shoes.
Oh, sure.
Like, I don't care about any of this. What you need to take pictures of was
make
shoes,
sure
right
the
down
shoes
there.
I think if you explain the Instagram account, people like, okay,
yeah,
I get
exactly
it.
Sometimes it takes a while.
It could. Most people, I think, get niche Instagram accounts.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes you come across someone who's got to explain it to them.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm doing. It's an aesthetic. It's my thing. All right, so there you go. Check out the shoe account.
Yep, Comedy Shoe Game.
And the Funny Brown Girl accounts.
Yes, Funny Brown Girl.
Go to the website.
FunnyBrownGirl.com.
And anything else?
Well, I guess we'll say it. I have a podcast coming out.
Whoa!
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Where's your breaking news theme?
It's right there.
Oh, that. Bam, bam.
Oh.
See, there we go, Chris. There we go.
It's a combination of buttons.
So now I put it out there. Now I got
to
do it.
Now you have to.
Oh,
it's
out there. Yeah.
Now. All right. Yeah. What do you want to put out there about it? It's up to you.
It's going to be called Creative Breakthrough, and it's going to be about people who sit at desk jobs but really want to be creative.
Yeah. So many people.
So how do
people
make that transition from a desk job to being a full time creative?
That's a fantastic premise.
How do you?
You're just going to have to tune in.
You're going to listen to episode 1.
Episode 7 will address that.
I don't listen to podcasts.
It takes a minute. Yeah. You have to subscribe, and then when you get to episode 7 is when you start getting answers.
Yes.
Yeah, string them along there.
Exactly.
I think it's very smart that you're doing a podcast that has a very specific idea. It's something that you're going to have passion for. You know, it's not just you turning on a microphone like, what was in the news this week? Oh, well, I went to Disney this weekend. Or, you know, like, no, this is what I had for dinner last night. It's like, it's got a purpose.
Right.
It's got a goal. And hopefully, knock on wood, the whole idea is that it's going to be helpful for people and inspiring.
Especially. That's what I'm looking for.
That's awesome. Because you also do motivational speaking.
I do motivational speaking. I do.
That's very cool.
And a lot of it, because I do have a corporate job. So I do go to work from 8 to 7.
So you get it.
Yeah, and then I go to comedy, and then I do radio. And
then you go to work, and then it repeats, a cycle repeats.
Yeah, and it's tiring. It's exhausting.
Oh,
but that's what you got to do when you got a passion, right?
Yes.
And then build up to that point where you can leave your corporate job and be like, I did it.
Like, thanks for helping me pay my bills and my health insurance.
That's the problem. Where do you get health insurance from?
You got to pay for it yourself.
I know.
You know what? That problem was being fixed in the last couple of years, but somebody decided to screw it all up. Yeah. I wonder why. I don't know. It's true.
Just keep drinking, Chris.
Yeah, health insurance.
That's my health insurance right there.
That's my biggest fear, not having health insurance.
That's everyone's biggest fear because we live in America. It's America. Yeah, it sucks. But I think it's fantastic. Creative, what's it?
Creative Breakthrough.
Creative Breakthrough.
Creative Breakthrough.
Oh, that's really, that's a great name.
Yeah, nobody steal it, please.
Oh, you want me to bleep this out? I'm making a point to write it down. All right, I won't name the title that. The episode won't be named that, but...
We'll just say it's copywritten.
It's copywritten now. Okay, I will print out this podcast, and I'll put it in an envelope, and I'll mail it to myself.
Because that's the way it works.
And then I won't open it, so it's post-dated, and then we have the copyright.
That's not an urban myth or anything.
That's how it works. Yeah. It works with audio, too. That's how I copywritten my Crespo cake. I make Crespo cakes. They are a specific brand of half-sweet, half-savory peanut butter, chocolate, marshmallow... beefcakes. And they are fantastic. It's my own recipe.
Proprietary.
So what I did was I made a cake and then I put it in an envelope and I mailed it to myself.
And it's just sitting in the closet.
It's been sitting in my closet in my bedroom for the last 2 years I'm trying to, you know, figure out a way to upscale. It's all about scale.
Exactly.
Scale's the problem here. So I got that cake sitting there. It's copywritten.
Yeah.
And it's rotting.
Well, I mean, it's
part in an envelope.
It's fine though.
I would not open that box.
It was wet for a while, but now it's dry.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, Chris.
We're good.
That's funny.
We're all good.
You've really done your research on me. I'm, like, impressed.
Hey, all I had to do this morning was go to funnybrowngirl.com and be like, oh, there's an About Me section. You made it pretty easy. Other people make it a little more difficult, I gotta say. I gotta do a little more trolling.
Well, you knew about my shoe Instagram.
Oh, that I knew about already. I think I follow it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, so I see her now and then. I'm like, oh, do those shoes have pizza slices on them? I see some interesting shoes on there, you know. I like fashion. I don't look like I like fashion, but I like fashion. Okay. Drew knows I'm all about my summer 2018 line.
Yep.
I am transitioning, though.
He did.
The not summer, my shoes. My shoes are shitty. Don't look at my shoes.
The summer 2018 line, he went and got a whole bunch of V-necks in every color.
But
those shorts that he's wearing, he's got those in every color, too.
Not every color. I got light shorts. I got blue shorts to go with my lighter shirts and my darker shirts. I'm going V-necks this summer. I am trying to do more tropical colors, but as you see, this is a darker color because I am already thinking about my transition into my winter wear. I think I'm going to keep V-necks going maybe for the rest of the year, but I do need to think about how the lighter colors, even though we're in Florida, doesn't necessarily work for December, January. Oh, my God, guys. Drew Stikogren versus the world. Shireen, I forgot to say, we were going to be interrupted at some point by this sound effect. And I was going to have you go up against Drew Stikogren in a little bit of a trivia here real quick.
Good luck.
Yeah, yes, Drew, good luck to you.
That's fine. Go up against
Funny Brown Girl here. I was also going to say, there's a whole thing with the... I'm going to throw some rocks here. There's this whole thing with in the podcasting community here locally about cabana wear. Yes, you haven't seen this, you don't really pay attention online. It's an online thing. All these podcasters, local podcasters, are all about wearing their summer styles or all these like cabana shirts, cruise wear, stuff like that.
Stuff that that tourists wear in the islands.
Stuff that dads wear.
Yes.
And then I realized after
just dads, white dads.
These are a bunch of white dad podcasters who are arguing about who has the best cabana wear, and I'm like, I ain't got time for that V-necks all summer. Because I'm all about that sexiness. Look at all that chest there.
Now, you need a gold chain, too.
I do need... No, that's 290s. That's 90s. I end up getting the cheap gold chain that then turned green.
It's not 90s.
And then it makes my skin all dry.
It's not 90s. It's just Hispanic, which you are.
No. You know, that's the thing. Is it Hispanic? My dad did have a chain growing up, but he stopped wearing it. But then I also grew up around a lot of Italians in Staten Island.
They do a lot of chains.
And they had a lot of chains, too. That's the ethnic whites.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're always trying to break down race.
I think you could do a gold chain. I think you can't have... You know those old school gold... I don't know the names, but those link chains?
Yes.
Those you can't. That's like old school.
And then when I think gold chain, that's kind of what I think.
Maybe like a rope or something.
You get something thin like she's got.
Like a rope.
You think so?
Something thin like that with a charm, you know. I could be super racist and say throw a Catholic saint on there. But you know, that's just
we grew up Protestant, so I'd have to have a Martin Luther on there.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if we could get you. We could spend like $40,000 and get you a nice little gold Chanel CC for Cinema Crispity Sale.
I was explaining to her while you're out real quick. I was trying to find an example to show her.
Yeah. I took all of them off here to put on the poster.
Oh, for the poster you're making?
Which isn't going up in the studio that doesn't exist anymore.
What do you mean the studio doesn't exist? Oh, the studio. That's right. No, we'll figure that out. No, that's
it's got to go somewhere
that's
now.
That's a whole other.
But it's being made.
So I'm just saying, Cabanaware is cool and all, but that's for dads who have given up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a dad.
Or, like I said, if you're in the islands.
And I haven't given up. Or if you're in the islands. I'm not, I mean, I know we're subtropics, but I mean, V-necks, baby.
Yeah.
It's all about, although this is my darker V-neck, this is my 2001 Spacescape V-neck. See, it looks like stars. Or I'm a TV on the fritz. Mm-hmm.
That's a good analogy.
There we go.
I could see that.
Here we go. This week's game is called TV Killed the Movie Star. Speaking of TV, Drew, this year you are 21-11. That is your
not
record.
Bad.
Not bad at all. This week's game, I'm going to name an actor or an actress. You tell me if this person's first credit was on TV or if it was a movie.
Alright,
so it's a 50-50. How did this person start it? Did they begin in a TV show or did they begin with a movie? Drew, you won last week.
I believe so.
You get to go first. Do you want Group A or Group B?
Go on Group B.
Alright, Drew, did this person start in TV or movies? Number one, Angelina Jolie.
Movies.
Movies is correct. He was thinking so hard, I thought he was going to shit his pants. Drew, number two, did this person start in TV or movies? Charlie Sheen.
TV.
He started in movies. Oh. Number three, Al Pacino.
Started before I was even born. We're going to go with movies.
He started in TV.
Of course he did.
Number four, Harrison Ford.
Movies.
He started in television.
See, this is so great.
Number five, Halle Berry.
Whatever I choose is going to be the opposite. So we're going to go with television.
That is correct. So 2 out of 5. There you go.
That was rough.
So that's the game, Shireen. I'm going to name the actor. TV or movies? How did they start? Okay. Number one, Leonardo DiCaprio. TV or movies?
Movies.
TV!
Yeah.
Number two, Robert De Niro.
Movies.
That is correct. Number three, Jennifer Aniston.
TV.
That is correct. Number four, George...
Wait, am I already winning?
You're tied.
No, now we're tied.
Oh. You're a
tied. Now we're tied.
Number three...
And you have to continue even if you're winning.
Yeah.
I know, but like, do I have to try anymore?
Oh, no, you can stop trying, but we have to keep
I mean,
going.
Not that I know the answer anyway, so I just...
You guessed it anyway.
You can always stop trying, but we're going to continue. Number four, TV or movies for George Clooney.
TV.
Movies.
No, really?
Yes. And finally, number five, TV or movies for Winona Ryder.
Movies.
That is correct.
No!
You are the winner.
She
Congratulations.
That went on a rider. You won.
Whoa. I need a plaque or something so I can like take it into the radio show.
You should.
And let people
like,
know.
Look, I won a movie, TV, pop culture quiz.
I'm glad it was a multiple choice.
On a podcast.
I did. Yes, on a podcast. Yes, it's so valuable. I did try to make it an easier one to.
Oh, you're so
there
sweet.
There we go. 50-50 type game. Well done, Shireen.
Yay. Woo-hoo.
Drew, I'm sorry. But...
No.
Mom, you saw it.
Thanks for letting me win.
Record of 21-11. No, 21-11. Yeah, that's all. No,
21-12.
Drew Skyward with the Rush reference. Good job there, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Okay, I mean, here we go.
It's one of those numbers ingrained in my brain.
It is ingrained. It's a good number. 21-12. All right, let's finish those plugs. Cinema Crespediso is the Instagram page, and the Twitter account is Crespediso. PFTmedia.com is the home of Cinema Crespediso, as well as shows such as The Devil's in the Details, which just got... you know what? No. You're going to have to listen to the next episode to find out the big news about The Devil's in the Details. The Lady Raptastic Show, Tidbits, State of the Beer Union, Simon Time Trivia, Scotch and Good Conversation, Poking the Bear, What's the Fuss? Listen to all those shows at PFTmedia.com. Okay. We have a few segments to do. One of them, we have our friend, one of our best friends. We were at his wedding.
Yeah.
He's our boy, Billy D.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, just this year. Just got married. Freshly married. Got that ring. Some lady put a ring on it. And they're like, I want more of this in my life. And so do we. He's our friend. He writes us every week. Drew reads the email. In a segment we call Billy D's Death at the Movies. And here is his intro.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You're metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death in the Movies. Shoot Chicago and go ahead and take it away, please.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Finally getting set up in at Fort Awesome 2.0.
Aww.
Should be getting the finishing touches on the apartment this week, and things are pretty great.
Nice.
I managed to see two movies this week.
What?
I caught Hereditary at the Cinema Village in the final leg of its run.
Oh, he hasn't seen Hereditary yet?
It was an empty theater, and that movie is fucking great. That's what a horror movie should be. It reminded me of the Nicholas Rogues.
Oh.
Don't Look Now. There was a scene in the middle where I didn't realize I'd been holding my breath the whole time until I sort of choked trying to catch it.
Oh, wow.
Definitely going down as an all-time great.
Have you heard of this one? Hereditary came out in the spring.
No, never heard of it.
Surprisingly popular horror film. I think it made like $100 million at the box office.
That's fucking insane.
And it is like a really dark, crazy movie. It's really wild.
The guy who played the kid?
Yeah.
He claims that movie gave him PTSD.
Ha, really? It's an insane role.
I can see that.
It's a dark, insane role, and it's about... ostensibly, overall,
a family.
It's about a family. No, I mean, like, thematically, it's about, is it genetically passed mental illness, or are there other factors that work? You know, a person, she's like a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, am I losing my mind, or is there something else happening? And I really like movies like that. Take Shelter is a movie like that, where the lead character's like, am I losing my mind, or is this just like my... And then he goes and visits his mom. He's like, Mom, what did you... start losing your mind.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm in my 30s. You know, like, okay. So is that what's happening to me right now? I like movies like that.
Didn't Take Shelter is the greatest part.
What happened?
When it starts raining.
Didn't Take Shelter? Yeah. Whenever it's raining. Yeah, it's a really good movie. Great movie. Go ahead.
Definitely going down as an all-time great. I also went up to the Alamo Yonkers to see Summer of 84.
Alamo Yonkers? Where did we go? We went to Alamo, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yeah. Alamo Yonkers, what's that, the Bizonks? You went to the Bizonks next to Foham?
So, Summer of 84, the new film from the Turbo Kid team.
Yeah.
Who won my allegiance with Turbo Kid. This movie is like Stand By Me, except instead of wanting to see a dead body, these kids want to catch their neighbor in the act of killing someone.
Mm.
This was a fun coming-of-age-slash-horror-slash-thriller with a great LaMatos score and an interesting tone.
LaMatos is really good.
It didn't always succeed, but I enjoyed itself. And it made for a nice palate cleanser after Hereditary. I also picked up a couple new albums this week that are pretty great. Synthwave duo Dance with the Dead's new album, Loved to Death. Perfect retro dance music, fit for horror movies that haven't been made yet. And Parius's The Eldritch Realm, for fans of The Black Dahlia Murder and Between the Buried and Me. Ooh, I like both of them.
There you go.
Progressive mellow death with a Lovecraft theme? Yes, please. Stay Cool Billy D.
Very cool. Yeah, he sent me a link to that band, to one of their songs.
The Dead Can Dance?
Yeah. No. Dead Can Dance, I already listened to it. They're great. Okay. They're great, like, very upbeat synthwave. The other band, the metal band, they're really good. You would like
them. Are they? Yeah. I love me some Black Dahlia Murder. I love me Between the Buried.
That's what it sounds like. This is that LaMatos that he mentioned.
Uh-huh.
The movie he saw, Summer of 84. It's a band that does, like, synthy stuff. So I figured I'd go ahead and pull it up, and this is what it sounds like.
Very 1984.
Bunch of kids looking out a window, trying to catch the neighbor doing a murder. Sounds like fun. I'm gonna go see this movie.
Yeah, alright. I'll see this.
Alright.
There you go.
LaMatos. That's good. I think they're French Canadian. Quebecois. Shout out to our Quebecois listeners. We have them. At least one.
Yeah, that's good.
It keeps popping up in the stats, so. And to prove to Drew,
Wolverhampton and Shropshire.
Although, to be honest, we haven't had any Shropshire downloads in like a month or so.
Oh.
So they may have moved to Chesterhampton or something.
I have no idea how it all works over there. Crazy Brits.
I love the Brits. They're fantastic. Thank you, Billy D. You're the best. People can follow him online at I Love Blood.
I Love Blood?
Yep.
He's a nice guy. Don't worry about it.
That's fantastic.
I know.
He's really into horror and death metal.
Horror films is like his go-to thing. But he's a sweetheart. He's a good cook. And like I say, he just got married to a very nice young lady. And they just moved into a place with wood floors.
In Bed-Stuy.
Talk about some money. There's some money there involved. Oh, there's a little bit of money involved. Just, I wonder where it's coming from. Not Billy's side of the family.
Definitely not from Billy either.
That was what was implied. That was what was implied there. Okay. So, we usually do the Vox Populi, but we have no emails this week from listeners. So, we're not going to do a listener email segment. Instead, we're going to jump straight to what is the most important segment. I know you're getting ready to do your show. It's going to be great. You're going to inspire a lot of people.
And it's going to be important.
But no offense, this coming up here is the most important segment in all of podcasting. It's the Cinema Crespity, so movie news segment. Here we go. Where's the
press the button. Button, Chris. Where's my button? Chris, button. Button. Chris.
Box.
Chris Button.
I told you I had to rearrange stuff.
Chris, where's your button? Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel's new beach bod.
I don't think I have it.
Something about.
Right.
Somebody's celebrity divorces.
You got it.
But first.
You gotta figure it out.
What's up with the beeps?
What's up with the beeps? Sorry, we need a Justin Bieber update. Shereen, what's up with the beeps? You know what's going on with Justin Bieber?
Button.
Yeah, he just bought a house. Didn't he just buy a $5 million house or something?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
He just bought a house?
Another house with that girl that he just got engaged to.
Oh, with the lady friend.
Yeah.
The lady friend. That's Hailey Baldwin, daughter of Stephen Baldwin, first off.
Like I said.
The Baldwin family, niece of Alec.
Lady friend.
It's oh not my like god, a, it's not Justin like Bieber and Alec Baldwin are about to be related.
It's not like
oh,
the wow. Kennedys.
I just realized
I didn't realize
that.
That's how they were all related. I didn't know yeah. She was part of that family.
Yep, she's part of the Baldwin clan.
Ah, I Alec, thought she was just a model.
Alec, she is a model. No, she is, quote, just a model for sure.
Yeah.
But,
she's also the son,
daughter of Stephen.
Who's Stephen Baldwin?
The younger brother of Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yes.
The one with any talent in the family, and also the big blowhard that's like, shut up and go away, please, Alec. Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, Justin Bieber and Alec Baldwin are related. That makes me go. Oh,
they're gonna spend Christmases together.
Oh my god, I love it. Someone posted in the Facebook group a very funny "What's up with the Biebs" update, and it's a video, like a 3-minute video of Justin Bieber and his super cool pastor friends. So it's like doing an interview, and he's hanging out with these guys, and they're all like the hair is coiffed. They're all just
it's
so
all for Jesus. It's cool for Jesus.
They're so cool, you know,
for Jesus.
Cool, but it's also for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the video's edited together to make them look like the idiots that they kind of are. It's very funny. It's very, very funny. I love it. No, but seriously, though, this is important. This is very important movie news. Here we go, guys. Ben Affleck. He is back in rehab.
Fatality.
Oh, he's not dead, though.
I was about to say, for what the... that's the second time this year.
Second time. No, not this year. Second time in 2 years. Second time in 3 years. Alcoholism is this thing. Alcohol is
he likes to boost it up. Yeah. Keep drinking, Chris. Keep on drinking. Just want to get rid of the shakes.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Steady the hand.
Here's the thing. So, he was with Jennifer Garner.
Yes.
Okay. Their divorce is not finalized. As a matter of fact, the judge in that case filed a motion. The judge filed something saying, if you guys don't finish this divorce soon, I'm throwing the whole thing out. You're going to have to start over because this is taking way too long. Yeah. They're dragging it out. For some reason, Affleck and Garner, while they're separated, not in any rush to actually get divorced.
Interesting.
Very weird. Yeah. He was dating this girl, Jennifer Tsoukas, who worked for SNL. She was like a producer on SNL. That's how they met.
Okay.
And, I think they met while he was still with Jennifer Garner. Anyway, he was dating her for a year, and then they broke up very recently. Apparently, the relationship was very good for him. She was good at keeping him sober.
Oh.
She was helping him promote a good, healthy lifestyle that he was seeking. But bi-coastal relationship. She lived in New York for SNL. He lives in LA. They couldn't make it work, the distance. So they broke up recently. Affleck rebounded with a 22-year-old Playboy model. Been hanging out with her for a few weeks.
And boozing it up.
And then boozing it up, partying it up. Apparently friends, this is from sources, you know, people close to the family, say that he was hanging out with old friends who liked to party. So he was out partying again and you know, just having a good old time. This is where it gets good. Jennifer Garner, seen like early afternoon going to his house and not looking happy, being very upset. She leaves. Comes back a few hours later with someone else, another lady. They pick him up, pick up Ben Affleck. He's then photographed in the back of their car, looking very distraught. Maybe probably drunk.
But still
also
drunk.
Looking like a very puffy face, look like he's crying, not looking good. She looks very upset. They picked him up, took him to a Jack in the Box, got him some food. There's a very funny picture of her passing him a brown paper bag of food. And he's eating his burgers in the backseat like an idiot. And then they drive him to rehab. So what happened was, he was a complete mess. And he had to call his separated estranged wife to come get him, to take him to rehab. She was pissed the fuck off to have to do it, but she did it.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
She did it.
Yeah, because there's still something there. Plus, we're talking about the father of her children.
No, exactly.
Like, I need you to at least be healthy for our goddamn kids, you fucking idiot, with your stupid back tattoo. Dumb back fleck. So, took him to rehab. He's in rehab now for his alcoholism. We'll see how it goes. But, wow, that's a wild story. The pictures are hysterical. If you're into Schadenfreude,
yes.
Which
is he still like really overweight and big?
You think he's overweight? He's bulky. He's a big
He's always been a big guy though.
He has always fought that bigness.
But I thought he put on a lot of weight.
He put on weight in terms of muscle for Batman.
Okay.
And then when you do that, that stuff tends to turn to fat.
Yeah.
So he may have kept that bulkiness. It's hard. It's easier to find pictures of him now at the beach with a bit of a. But then again, all these actors, when they hit their 40s, DiCaprio.
Yeah.
So many pictures of DiCaprio with little buds and a poof or whatever. Yep. And then he's like, okay, I gotta make a movie now. So he pays his $1 million nutritionist and his trainer. He's ripped within 4 months. Makes this movie. He's looking great, looking fantastic.
And then back to nice and puffy.
Someone put out a picture. So, yes, exactly. Someone put out a picture. No, first they put out a picture, a promotional photo of DiCaprio and Brad Pitt for the Quentin Tarantino movie coming out.
Oh, Brad Pitt in his full denim outfit.
Full denim outfit. Because he's playing the stuntman. He's in a full denim outfit. DiCaprio's got a turtleneck and a leather jacket looking very great 70s style. And then someone, I don't know how they got this, they put out a picture of the untouched photo. So you see, DiCaprio's, they look pretty similar.
Yeah,
but
I bet you Brad's face is looking a little saggy and wrinkled.
No, not saggy, but yes, wrinkled.
Yeah.
They removed some of Pitt's wrinkles for the picture.
All that sun he got when he was younger.
He gets a lot of sun. He's going the Robert Redford route
he's leather.
Robert Redford is his idol, so
he's
probably happy about
and
it.
And actually, seriously, in that picture when he's in the full denim with the glasses, he almost looks like Redford.
That's what he wants. He wants to be Robert Redford so bad. DiCaprio, a little bit of a neck goozle over the turtleneck.
Oh, really?
They removed that so it's nice and smooth underneath there. Because he's in his 40s.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it happens.
Come on. It happens. He's not a young DiCaprio anymore.
The skin isn't so tight as it used to be.
Exactly. So someone put out the untouched photo. Whatever. Who gives a shit? That's they should have just put out the picture with the goozle anyway. Who cares?
Seriously.
It's DiCaprio. He's a movie star. He has it.
He's had it since
he's been in TV in the 80s.
Yeah.
He did in the 80s. He was in like 4 or 5 TV shows before he ever got to even before he got to Growing Pains. He was on a whole bunch of other shows. I'm sorry, Batfleck is in Ben Hab. Best of the Affleck Garner family because they have not gotten divorced yet. Why don't they just get back together?
Good for them.
Why don't they just get back together?
I mean, she's doing old lady action.
She is doing old lady action. What's that movie? Peppermint. Yeah. Actually looks pretty good.
I mean, it does. I'm not gonna lie, it does. Good. But like,
and she also did Alias too. So,
but like,
she has
I could
action
totally,
background and Elektra.
I mean, if they just gender switched, it's totally what's his face? A Neeson movie. It's Liam Neeson's.
It's a Lady Taken.
Yeah,
Taken Lady.
It's, exactly.
It's Lady Taken.
Yeah, it's Lady Taken.
Which I'm fine with.
I mean, it's totally.
Garner's
I'm
good.
I'm totally cool. They haven't done it yet, so it'll be fun to watch.
Welcome to Lady Taken.
Yep.
All right, so there we go. Shout out to Ben Affleck.
Cheers.
I care not.
I mean, their divorce, you don't hear about their divorce as much as you hear about Angelina Jolie. And
yo, I was talking about that last week. That one is getting dirty. Yeah. Ooh.
And you don't know whose side to believe. You don't know if she's making stuff up, he's making stuff up.
I mean, that's the thing, and I like them both too. I'm a fan of both of theirs. So I don't want to believe anyone. From what's going out there, what I'm reading, it's more she has more access to the kids.
Yes.
The kids are staying with her.
Are they all hers? I know they're all hers, but does he own them? Not own them.
Oh,
he owns
two of them.
I mean,
genetically he owns two of them.
Is he the dad, on paper the dad for all of the kids?
I think he's as an adoptive
father, because
I believe so.
Because remember, she adopted
a bunch
of those kids.
I think they have 6 kids. I think she adopted three of them, maybe 4, and I think he is on record as being the adoptive father of them as well. And he wants to be there as their dad, and from what I'm reading is that she is doing the old poisoning the kids against the dad while she has the opportunity. So the young girls, they still love him and they want to hang out. But the boys in the family who are also older, they're like 13 to 16, they're like not talking to him, and they're mama's boys, and they're siding with mom. So it's ugly, it's sad. And then he's mad that she took it public, because she's the one who took it public.
Yeah.
They had a whole private agreement going on, and she took it public. But then she said, he's not giving me the money. He's like, I gave you $8 a loan. You want that back with interest? So it is not cool.
Yeah.
It's not cool. And here at Cinema Crispy, so we love tracking that kind of shit because it's hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll get back with Jennifer Aniston?
Ooh, that was rumored for a while. Yeah, right? And there was actually
the Inquirer said he put a ring on it like 2 weeks ago.
And then last year, there was this whole thing when the split first happened that a bunch of ex-girlfriends were ringing him up.
I remember
Paltrow
that.
Paltrow hit him up. I think, what's her name? She was in, God damn it, Bowfinger and Boogie Nights, the roller skate girl.
Heather Graham.
Heather Graham, I think, hit her up. Apparently, a lot of old girlfriends come up out of the woodwork. Oh, are you okay? Do you need something?
What's up, Brad?
And he's like, I'm just.
I'm Brad Pitt.
I'm just taking a moment to, like, you know, get my shit together.
I'm just taking a moment to be Brad Pitt.
I just need some time.
Because I'm just Brad Pitt.
And then there was a rumor that he was actually dating an MIT professor that they met through his architecture stuff that he does, but then she like denied it, and then she was photographed with some other dude. She's like, oh, maybe that wasn't really it.
You really keep up with this
stuff. Oh my god, it's Chris so does. funny. I had to find it hysterical. Hysterical. And I think it's also great to then devote entire sections of the show to that.
The
most important segment of all time.
Yes.
We have This Week in Rape Culture. I talk about racism all the time and fascism. But when we get about talking about them celebrity divorces and those hot beach bods, that's when people really start paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
What?
It's time to start landing this thing. Let's do the lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
I have 10 questions.
Okay.
And I need 10 answers from you, and I need you to give me those answers as fast as you can.
Oh no, so not multiple choice.
Well, this is sometimes. More, it's more like a psychological exam, where it's like, you know, we throw a word at you, and you just respond.
Okay.
You know, it's that type of thing.
Oh god.
Yes, it's like a mental Rorschach, Shireen.
Okay. Exactly. If I say anything inappropriate, please bleep it out.
Absolutely.
Don't worry, we will not.
We will, maybe. Okay, here we go. Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, should puppets curse?
Yes.
Number two, want to join my barbershop quartet?
Sure.
Number three, sneakers or Snickers?
Sneakers.
Number four, who has the best laugh?
Me.
Number five, what is the what?
What?
Number six, why are people running out of fucks to give?
Oh my god, that's a good question. Because of social media.
Okay, good answer. Number seven. You got that sticky, icky
pussy.
Whoa! Number eight. Should desserts be shiny?
No.
I think so too. Number nine. Are you down with late night morning afters?
Yes.
Number 10, coffee or tea?
Tea.
And Drew Sakonburn, I need you to break out the swag baggery. We got the green bag. We got the purple bag. Which one do you maybe, Shireen, want to go home with today?
The green one.
Green bag, Drew. Break out that green bag and let everyone know what is inside.
You may get to go home with a splat ball. Toss it. Watch it splat. I think.
Wait, what?
Excuse me? Six dials.
It stopped him in his tracks.
It's sticky and it's stretchy. Yes. It looks like an egg, maybe.
I think I have one. It's where you throw it, right?
Toss.
Yeah, throw it and go splat.
Yeah.
Toss at a countertop or other smooth, slick surface. Watch it flatten out and then reform.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, cool. Interesting.
All right.
We've also got a Cinema Crispy to a bootleg edition of Behind Enemy Lines from 2001.
Starring Gene Hackman and Owen Wilson.
Oh, whoa. No, we've got a Nano Metal Figs Street Fighter figure. It's Ryu.
Yes, but pop culture person like yourself would appreciate a 90s video game reference, I'm
also
sure.
Also, a Metal Nano Figs wrestler, Seth Rollins, whoever that may be.
Oh, a much more current reference.
He's got a beard.
Yeah, he's got a beard.
Also, a Matchbox Jurassic World truck of sorts.
Yes. It's a Jurassic World. We mentioned Jurassic World. It's a movie branded.
We've got a magnet that exclaims, I pooped today.
Yeah, let people know you pooped.
I'm going to put that on my office door.
And we have a... what year is this? 1982 Donruss Bill Gullickson from the Montreal Expos. You got a baseball card.
Classic Bill Gullickson
and
baseball card.
There is a Cinema Crispy sticker in there as well.
There
oh,
you
yay.
Go. So, Shireen, you can take all the stuff. It can be yours. You can take this home, play with the splat ball. You can put that baseball card on eBay. Or instead, you take what's in the box that we have right over here. That's right. Classic.
I'll take what's in the box.
Oh, my God. There we go. Go ahead and pop that top. Reach inside and let everyone know what you see in there. That is all yours. Oh, yep,
it
there we go.
It is a anime naked people puzzle.
Yeah, anime naked people.
Is that tentacle porn that I see, Chris?
It's a tentacle porn puzzle.
Oh, pretty easy. Actually.
It's a puzzle.
It's a puzzle.
It's actually a dude on a horse.
But it is a dude on a horse, but it made me think of other things.
Here we go. Well, it's a horse. It's a horse of course.
Okay.
You saw that.
And he's bucking really hard.
He is. That is a bucking bronco.
Get that dude off of him. There you go. You got a puzzle. Enjoy that. You and your boyfriend can put that together, and I guess that's it.
Yep.
And then throw it away when you're
done. I mean, it's a puzzle.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was a lot of fun. We really appreciate it. We got to do it again in the future. Drew, thank you.
Pleasure as always, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Remember to break up the big banks. Be excellent to each other. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. We are out of here.
A PFT Media production.